If I were to ask you today, how would you describe love? What would you say? Yeah, most of the time we would be more prone to give examples of what we felt like love is in our lives or how we might have viewed that. But today, as always, we want to make sure that we have a biblical worldview of what love is really about. Now, remember, we're continuing our series titled Kingdom Culture, Resisting the World's Pull. And today, we want to look at love that transforms. We're going to be sharing scriptures today out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So grab your Bible, come on back. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, it's a pleasure to have you with us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that all is going well with you and your day has truly been not only a blessing to you, but I pray that you have had the opportunity to be a blessing to others as well. Just a moment ago, I asked you a question. I said, if somebody were to come up to you, or if I were to come up to you and say, you know, how would you describe love? What would be the things that you would tell me? Now, I hope you've already got that in your minds. I think I would describe it this way, or I would, you know, bring these characteristics or qualities to light. And we're going to be doing that from experiences that we have had, you know, whether it's our spouse, whether it's our children, whether it's our parents, whatever the situation may be. That's where we're going to get those qualities of love that we're going to describe to answer that particular question with. Well, today, we want to look at what the scripture tells us about love, because the scripture actually gives us a great, great definition of love as we're supposed to live it out in the world today. So I mentioned a little while ago that we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I trust you've got your Bible there. So let's look together. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to begin reading at verse 4. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 4. It says this, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and thankful that we have these moments that we can spend together in your word. Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us, that today we will truly take the moment to seek your Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we know the Holy Spirit wants to get our attention today through your word. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word never returns void, and that today, if we're looking for a blessing out of these scriptures, then you will provide it. So Lord, I pray that you will give each and every listener insight today. And Lord, as always, I pray that for these next few moments that you would use me as your messenger, that Lord, you would help me to lift you up, and in doing so, that you might draw all men unto you. So Father, speak to our hearts, give us courage to act upon what you show us, and Lord, we'll praise you and ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we're looking at the context of this particular verse, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthian church, and in doing so, he was addressing issues of division, he was addressing immorality, and he was also addressing spiritual gifts. Now, in the midst of these particular challenges, Paul emphasizes the importance of love as the foundation for all Christian living. Now, when you think about a foundation has a purpose. A foundation is supposed to reach down to where there's solid ground. Most often when we talk or think about a foundation, we think about a home. A home sets on a foundation. And in the midst of that, there's a lot of weight, there's loads that are put with on that foundation, and the foundation needs to be strong enough to be able to carry the load. Now, as Paul is addressing the church, yeah, he is emphasizing the importance of love as the foundation. In other words, what everything else is to be built on is love, and that is essentially the foundation for our Christian living. And we know what the commandments say. The first commandment says that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. And then he says, But the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I've mentioned this, matter of fact, it wasn't too awful long ago that I actually mentioned it. I said, I remember preaching a sermon called, Do You Really Love Your Neighbor or Do You Just Like Them? This all has to be done in love, not in a begrudging manner or whatever. And as we follow the Lord, He puts within our heart the compassion for other people. He puts within us the desire to be able to love other people in a biblical manner. And I got to be careful how I say that, particularly given all the definitions of love that we have today. As you think about it, most of the time, what television and media and everything is going to put out to you today is defining love more as lust or something that we should seek to better ourselves, and it doesn't take into consideration the heart or the thought of anyone else. Folks, let me tell you, there's a huge difference between love and lust, and most of the time what you're seeing defined in the world today is more along the line of lust rather than love. So we've got an idea about the context of what's going on. Paul is addressing the church of the Corinthians, and he is emphasizing the importance of love as the foundation. Get that in your hearts and your minds. Love is the foundation for Christian living. That means you and I as well, each and every day. That should be the foundation of how we act, what we do. Love. We need to do these things out of love. So in this particular passage, Paul provides a very powerful description of love. Now, remember when we started our Bible study, I said, if I were to ask you, how would you describe love, what would you say? Now, most of us right out of the gate, you know, if you're a good listener, you would have sat back and said, okay, how would I answer that? And then you would start naming off these different qualities. That's generally what we do. We would start naming off qualities of love that we see. But the reason I wanted you to do that is because we wanted to see how Paul describes it, not only to the Church of the Corinthians, but also to you and I. So in the passage in the text that we're looking at today, Paul provides a very, very powerful description of love that really stands in stark contrast to the cultural definitions, not only of his time, but also of your time and my time. Love, as defined by Paul, is patient. It is kind. It is selfless. It is humble. And it is enduring. Did you get those qualities? Now, let me ask you this question. If you in your mind and your heart answered the question that I asked you at the beginning of our Bible study, did your definition, as you see it, play into the definition as Paul was giving it to the Corinthians? You know, when I said to you, describe love, was patience one of those things that came to mind? Was kindness one of those things that came to mind? Was selflessness one of those things that came to mind? Was humility something that came across your mind? Was enduring something that came across your mind? You know what? Maybe I hope and pray that for every one of us that there were at least a couple of these that we kind of touched on as we thought about our definition. There were some of them that you were probably like, I didn't think about it that way, but yeah, that's a good quality and a good characteristic. Now, love does not seek its own interest, but rather it rejoices in truth and it rejoices in righteousness. And I think we have become a very selfish society. Notice what I said, and notice what the Word of God says. Love does not seek its own interest, but rather it rejoices in truth and it rejoices in righteousness. Is that paramount in your definition? You know, that it's not all about me. It's about somebody else. It's about putting my best foot forward for somebody else. So as we look at our text today, here's what we need to understand. Biblical love transforms our relationships and it empowers us to engage, the world with grace and with truth. Now, it's a love that reflects the character of God, and it leads to unity, it leads to compassion, and it leads to forgiveness. So when we think about those things, man, wouldn't the world be a far better place if those were the foremost characteristics and qualities that we saw in the people that we work with, in the grocery stores where we shop, on the roads where we drive? Yeah, some of y'all just laughed at that one because you know exactly You know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that. A lot of road rage that's going on. So let's take this passage and let's break it down a little bit. Let's talk about what these passages mean to us today. Let me give you like a modern day translation of what was being presented to the Corinthians. All right. So we noticed it in our text today. It says that love is patient and it's kind. Now, a lot of us really know what the definition of that is. We know what patience is and we know what kindness is. But what essentially that means is that love is not easily provoked or angered. Now, think about that in its context. Love is not easily provoked or angered. Do you get angry with people around you? Now, some of you sit back and say yes. And right now, the Holy Spirit's put that on your heart. And you're coming up with every reason to try to justify your anger towards somebody. And then sometimes we just get to the point that old sinful nature crops up and we actually want to provoke other folks along the way. So remember this, the definition of love is that it's patient and it's kind. It's not easily provoked. It's not easily angered. It demonstrates kindness and compassion towards other. Now here's a key, even in difficult circumstances, often we want to try to justify and I'm just going to use the word indifference. Often we want to justify our lack of love and our indifference towards other people because we'll sit back and say, well, these are difficult circumstances. If you only knew what was taking place and you only knew what was going on. Well, the word says that we are to demonstrate kindness as well as compassion towards other people, even when they're difficult situations, even when we don't feel like it. Even when we feel like the person that we're getting ready to attack, and I'll just use that term, even when it feels like that person is just being something, and you can insert what that is, okay? And you're sitting back, well, I'm justified because the situations are difficult. Well, no, you're not justified in that, not according to the Word of God. So love is patient, and it's kind. Another thing that's mentioned in that passage is that love does not envy or boast. So what does that mean to you and I today? That means that love is content with what it has, and it does not seek recognition or praise. It's humble and it's selfless, okay? Those are words that we understand a little bit more. When we sit back and we think about, well, love does not envy, what does that mean? And it does not boast. Well, that's essentially what it means. It means that love is content with what it has. Not seeking recognition, not seeking praise of others. It's a very humble and selfless act. Now, too many times, and I mentioned a moment ago, we're in it to win it. We're always looking out for number one. And the opposite of humility is pride. And the opposite of selflessness is selfishness. So often what happens is, we're approaching situations with pride and selfishness, the opposite of what the Word is speaking to us. Remember what it is. When we sit back and when we consider that love doesn't envy or boast, it's humble and it's selfless, not selfish, okay? So as we proceed through this description, or at least the part that we've gotten to, love is not proud or rude, all right? What does that mean? That means that love does not exalt itself or act in a disrespectful manner. Man, how much disrespect is in our world today? I sit back and I see, people and even positions that used to gander a lot of respect, that there's just so little respect for not only the position but the people within those positions. So the Word tells us love does not exalt itself or act in a disrespectful manner. What it does is it treats others with respect and with dignity. Are we doing that? Are we treating others with respect? Now, I've always said this. The golden rule is very simple. It's in the Word of God, and it tells us that we should treat other people in the same manner in which we would want them to treat us. So sometimes you might need to stop and ask yourself, is what I'm getting ready to say or is what I'm getting ready to do, is that the way I would want someone to treat me in this given situation? Listen, folks, I can promise you that if we would do that, if we would reverse roles for just a moment before we get ready to snap and we think about it, okay, what I want somebody to treat me the way that I'm getting ready to treat this person, what I want them to say to me, the things I'm getting ready to say to them. And by the way, listen, let me tell you something. Nonverbal communication is huge. Last statistic I checked said that nonverbal communication is well over 58% of communication. What is your face saying? Now, I've had people tell me all the time, and most of the time we'll do it with a laugh, and they'll say, you know what, I might be able to control the words that come out of my mouth, but I can't control the look on my face. Work on that. That's all I can tell you is work on that. You work to be able to treat others with respect and dignity. And remember what I said a moment ago, even when the situations and circumstances are difficult, because folks, we're going to run into difficult situations. Most of the time, that's what gets us all ramped up. Now, remember what we're talking about. We're talking about how you would describe love. And we're also remembering that the Lord tells us that not only are we to love Him, but we're to love others as ourselves. So when we consider these things, are we treating others with the respect and the dignity that we would want them to treat us? Okay, now, another earmark in our passage says this. It says that love is not self-seeking, nor is it easily angered. You see, folks, love prioritizes the need of others, and it does not act out of selfish ambition or anger. In other words, I'm looking at this person, and their needs need to come above mine. I always like what the word says, that we should esteem the other as better than self. And boy, I tell you one thing, that's hard for us to do because we feel like there are certain things we deserve. And I've always said this, if you treat others in this manner, that's the manner that they'll treat you. If you treat others in love, then you will be loved in return. But if you treat others hateful, then they're either not going to have anything to do with you at all, or they're going to be hateful towards you. Now, that's not to say that you and I as believers should take the eye for an eye approach when it comes down to this, because we're getting a description of what love is and what love means. In fact, it's saying to do the exact opposite of treating others harshly. You know, it says quite the opposite. Remember, love is not self-seeking. There's that selfishness again. Nor is it easily angered. Listen, let me ask you this question. How easy do you get angry? Do you have a hair trigger when it comes down to anger? Well, love prioritizes the need of others, and it does not act out of selfish ambition nor anger. What is another quality that we see in our scripture today concerning love? Well, love rejoices in truth and righteousness. See, love celebrates what is good and just. It stands against injustice, and it stands against immorality. Those are the times that we need to stand up. And listen, we're not standing up simply because it's our choice. We're standing up because this is what the Word of God says. We're standing up for truth. We're standing up for what is righteous, particularly when it comes down to the lives of other people and those that we love or those that we profess that we love. So love celebrates the things that are good and just. It doesn't sit back and say, oh, well, look at what this person did. I wish that was me. See, all of a sudden you start getting into covetousness when it comes to those things. Remember, love celebrates what's good and just. Do you celebrate with your loved ones when something great happens, when they hit those milestones in their lives, family-wise? We're more prone to do that with family than we are with strangers. But man, listen, isn't it great to celebrate what is good and just in the hearts and the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ? And I tell you one thing, that celebration will go a long way. When you stand there beside them and you're cheering them on, boy, that's a great that's a great partner to run this race of life with. And by the way, that's not just spouses. Remember, there's different kinds of love. Yeah, the Bible describes different kinds of love. There's eros love. That's like a love between a husband and a wife. There's philos love. That's like brotherly love. You know, I have some people in my life that are other men, and I look at them and say, hey, man, I love you. And I mean that with all of my heart. Now, that's not crazy. You know, that doesn't make me a homosexual or anything else. I'm loving them with a biblical love that is called philos love. And then there's the agape love. That's the love we should strive for. This is the love the way God loves us. He loves us with an agape love. Boy, that's a challenge right there, isn't it? That's hard to reach that. And people go, well, it's impossible. Well, we should strive for that. So remember this, love rejoices in truth and it rejoices in righteousness. It stands against injustices and it stands against immorality. Remember, these are things that Paul was addressing with the church in Corinth. That's why he's actually saying this. This is a letter to them. So finally, what we're going to deal with today, the word tells us that love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Modern day translation, love preserves through trials and challenges. It perseveres when we go through. Now, that's a big word, isn't it? Persevere. What does it mean? That means it sticks with it. But we live in a society today where love is fleeting because what happens is too often we're hanging our hat on an emotion. But love is something that when truly done in a biblical manner, love perseveres through trials and it perseveres through the challenges because, folks, let's face it, all of us are going to have trials and all of us are going to have challenges. We need to have that person loving us as we go through the trials and challenges, and in turn, we need to be loving them when they're going through trials and challenges. You see, yeah, not only does it persevere through trials and challenges, it remains steadfast in what? It remains steadfast, according to the word, in faith, hope, and love. And that's what we should do as well. So, as we've looked at the context of our scriptures today, gotten a little bit of an idea of what it was that Paul was trying to get across to the Corinthian church, what does it mean to us today? Okay? As followers of Christ, you and I are called to embody this transformative love in our relationships and in our interactions with other people. Now, some of y'all may have sat back and said, well, I was good. I was hanging with you all the way up to that point because there are some people that are very difficult to love. I will agree with you. There are some people that are difficult to love, but we're not given that choice. This is what the Lord tells us. Matter of fact, the Word of God says this, even if we would consider these people enemies, the Lord says that we are to love our enemies, to pray for our enemies, and to pray and for and love those who despitefully use us or those who are despiteful towards us. Isn't that what the Word says? So we're not given a choice in that situation. So as followers of Christ, we're called to embody this love that's mentioned in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're to embody that in our not only in our relationships, but also in our interactions with one another. We're called to love our enemies, to forgive those who've wronged us, and to show compassion to those in need. You know, if you remember not too many months ago, we did a series on the miracles of Jesus. And one of the most interesting things in the world was the fact that every single one of those miracles, we could point to the compassion of Jesus toward those that were in need. And we are to be Christ-like. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be Christ-like. So we're to reflect those qualities and characteristics as best we can to those that are around us. So we need to love our enemies. We need to forgive those who have wronged us. Even if they don't ask us, we need to forgive them. And we need to show compassion to those who are in need. Now listen, this kind of love has the power to heal wounds. This is the kind of love that can mend broken relationships. And this is the kind of love that can bring about reconciliation with other people. And I pray that if there's broken relationships that you have with other people, that you would truly seek reconciliation as the Holy Spirit leads. I want to make sure I put that in there. You don't just simply go out and do that on your own. You do that as it's covered with prayer and as the Holy Spirit leads you and as the Holy Spirit guides you. So today, we've had a few moments to break down what is affectionately known as the love chapter in the Word of God out of 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. But folks, we live in a world that is filled with division. We live in a world that's filled with hatred. We live in a world of selfishness. And the love that we see described in 1 Corinthians 13 offers a very powerful alternative. I pray that you will choose the 1 Corinthians 13 alternative. It's a love that it's not just as we might earthly define it, but this is the kind of love. The 1 Corinthians 13 love is the kind of love that transforms our hearts. It's the kind of love that transforms our minds, and it's also the kind of love that will transform our communities. Our community as a church, as well as our communities in which we live. So folks, let us strive to live out this kind of love each and every day of our lives, reflecting the love of God in a world that is truly, truly in need. Would you do that? Would you take up that challenge? Would you pick up that opportunity and say, you know what? The Holy Spirit's spoken to my heart today, and I need to love people in a way that I've never loved them before. And I'm going to ask the Lord to help me. And that's what we're going to do right now as we take this time to close our Bible study in prayer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of love that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect example. Lord, I pray that you will help us to embody this transformative love in all that we do and in all that we say. Lord, I pray that may bring glory to your name. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to be agents of reconciliation and grace in a world that truly, truly needs it. And Father, I do lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, thank you for taking the time to join us today. I just want to remind you of what your Bible reading for this week will be. I want to challenge you, particularly if you don't have a Bible study plan of your own, and even if you do, this is another great opportunity to be in the Word. So each week what I do is I just kind of give you something to ponder for the week's passage of Scripture to look at, and this is also getting you prepared for the upcoming week for the Wednesday night Bible study. So next week we're actually going to be continuing our sermon series called Kingdom Culture, Resisting the World's Pull. We're going to be looking at the sixth message in our series. So I want you to spend a little bit of time in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. That's 1 Peter chapter 1. Next Wednesday, we're going to actually be looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, and we're going to address the call for all believers to live lives that are set apart. You know, resisting those cultural pressures that will dilute our witness, and we're going to commit to God's standard. That's really what we need to do. We have to make that commitment by which to do so. So spend a little time this week in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. Next week we'll be looking at verses 15 and 16. As always, I want to take this moment to invite you to come be a part of our in-person worship services at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're located at 1716 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We would love to have you come and make a personal visit with us. Our services start at 10:45 a.m. We also have discipleship opportunities through Sunday school, small groups, and various other discipleship opportunities that you can take a part of, not only on Sundays, but throughout the week. I'd love to see you this coming Sunday as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. May God bless you. May you be a blessing to somebody this week, and may God bless you in a wonderful way. Have a great week. Thank you.